This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support.
In 2014, my wife and I bought our first home, and we learned the expression that a homeowner's job is never finished. Immediately when you move into a new home, you see all the things that you need to do that maybe you didn't notice the first time you visited. And one of the things that is never finished is landscaping. And so immediately what I and my wife wanted to do was sort of clean up the yard a little bit. And there were these hedges, these bushes, if you will, that had died and needed to be trimmed back. But because this was our first home, I did not have the proper tools in order to complete this job. And all I could find in the garage was an old saw that the previous owner had left behind. This old handsaw must have been about 50 or 60 years old. It was rusted and the teeth were worn and broken. But because I was eager and willing and it was all I had, I immediately went to the yard and got to work. And I began sawing and pulling and grunting and working and making a little progress, but the job was very, very difficult. Way bigger than the tool that I had. As I was working, I felt this presence behind me. I felt like there was someone standing behind me, and so I turned around, and there standing behind me was a man with a saw in his hand. Now, after the initial shock wore off and I realized my life was not in danger, I realized that this man was my new neighbor and saw me from the window struggling and said, "Why don't you try this instead?" And so I took this beautiful, brand new saw and immediately got back to work, and the job was so much easier. I share that story with you because the way that we experience things sometimes has a lot to do with the tools that we try to use. If we use the right tool for the right job, the experience and the project will go a lot easier and smoother. And this is true not only for physical tools, but also spiritual tools as well. When we think about the word faith, for example, the first thing that comes to mind is a belief. A belief in God, a belief in a higher power, a belief in Jesus Christ. But faith is more than just a belief. Faith is also a tool that God gives us to navigate the ups and downs of life. And as we learn in our scripture reading today, faith is the best tool that we can apply to our daily lives. In our scripture reading today, we have a letter from the book of Colossians. And when the Christian church first began, there were a group of disciples, apostles, if you will, who took the message of Jesus from Jerusalem and spread it across the modern world. And one of the most important Christians in the history of the church was a man named Paul. He converted to the Christian faith as an adult, and he believed that it was his mission and his purpose in life to go and start churches, to help people experience the living God and the Holy Spirit in places where Jesus had never physically visited. And because Paul did not have email or Zoom or FaceTime, he stayed in touch with these churches through letters. And many of these letters wound up in the Bible, and that's what we read today, his letter to the community of the Colossians. And sometimes Paul wrote these letters because things were going really well. He was encouraging them. He was celebrating their good work. But sometimes Paul wrote these letters because there needed to be a correction in their thinking. You see, like any new venture, there were fits and starts and bumps in the road with this new Christian church. They did not have the Bible, at least in the format that we have today, that people primarily learned about and experienced Jesus by hearing from the people who walked with him here on earth. That the message of the gospel, first and foremost, spread not through the Bible, but through stories. And while stories are powerful, they can also be problematic. Stories can be a bit like playing the game telephone, where one person tells one person another thing, and the message kind of gets confused as it goes on and on from person to person. And this is what happened to the Colossians. You see, the Colossians had begun to hear or believe that Jesus, while he was an important person, while he was a spiritual person, while he was a godly person, was not God himself. That Jesus was not on the same level as God. And Paul wanted to correct this thinking, and that's what he does in the scripture reading today. In the scripture reading today, Paul says to the Colossians that through Jesus, all things came into being. And without him, not one thing came into being. That Jesus himself is before all things. I think that's an important idea that we need to remember, that Jesus himself is before all things. You see, the truth of the matter is, there is many things in our life that we need to worry about. Many things in our life that we need to concern ourselves. Many things, especially in this day and age, that we can experience and consume. We need to keep track of medications. We need to keep track of our jobs and doctor's appointments. We experience movies and books and music, and all these things are wonderful things. All these things are gifts from God. But what Paul reminds us of today is the Christian is called to keep Jesus before all things. See, because if you don't do that, if you don't keep Jesus before all things, Jesus stops becoming the thing and becomes just one of many things. Jesus stops becoming a truth, starts becoming the truth, and starts becoming a truth. He can be put in the background. He can got to be left behind or pushed off to the side. But our experience of life is not just about what we experience. It's about the tools that we use. It's about recognizing that there are things that are good and things that are bad. But the most important thing, the thing that we have to put all things before, is Jesus himself. Because Jesus is the best tool that we are called to apply. And applying the tool of faith to our daily life allows us to see and experience life in the way that God intends. Recently, my two oldest boys have gotten more and more involved in different activities and different sports. And one of the activities and sports that they've really taken to and gravitated towards is swimming. So much so that they're growing, and it's been fun to watch them get involved in different swim lessons. And if you've ever swum before, and especially if you've ever done any competitive swimming, you know the importance of a good pair of goggles. See, when you go into the water without goggles, the water is blurry. It's not clear. It's difficult to see where you are going and what is out there. And if you spend enough time in the water with your eyes open, not wearing goggles, eventually the chlorine will begin to irritate and itch your eyes. See, if a swimmer is swimming in a race and their goggles fall off, even though they have the same ability, the same legs, and the same arms, it can dramatically affect how fast they finish the race. Because understanding clearly where you're going, understanding clearly what's ahead, is tremendously important. And so last week, we were getting ready to go to swim lessons, and we were a little bit of a hurry. And so I was grabbing all the things that they need, like their towels, and then I grabbed their goggles, and I threw their goggles into a bag, and off we went. And so when we got to the swim lesson, and I reached to grab their goggles out, I noticed that for my oldest son, we grabbed the wrong pair of goggles. You see, when we first started signing him up for swim lessons, we got the cheapest pair of goggles money could buy, right? I went on Amazon and I found the cheapest pair of goggles money could buy because, to be honest, he didn't even really want to put his face in the water anyway at that point, so why did he need an expensive pair of goggles? But as he got older, as he got better, he needed a better pair of goggles because he'd get to the point where he's actually diving and jumping into the water and these goggles could easily fall off. And so we got him a more expensive, a better pair of goggles. But in my hurrying, I had grabbed the wrong pair of goggles. I had grabbed the inferior pair of goggles, but because we were far away from home and the swim lesson was about to start, I just told him, well, just take these and just do the best you can. And I thought, you know, everything was going to be fine. I mean, goggles are goggles. How different could they be? But as I watched him do the swim lesson, I noticed that he kept fiddling with them. He kept trying to tighten them and adjust them. So I went over to see if he needed help. And so I tried to adjust them and tighten them for himself. But the entire swim lesson, no matter what we did or no matter what he did, he was distracted. Water kept getting into his eyes, and he was not swimming in the way that he was capable of. I share that story with you because in life, we have all sorts of choices to make. Choices not only on how to act, but choices on how to think. Choices on how to feel. And the truth of the matter is, the way that we live our lives, it can be easy to sort of go through the motions. To sort of do things because that's the way that we've always done them. Or that's the way that we've been told to do them. But the truth of the matter is there are inferior choices and there are superior choices. There are tools and things that we can do that themselves aren't necessarily evil or horrible, but next to Christ, they aren't the same. You see, Jesus in the Gospels says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus doesn't simply say, I am a way or a truth or a life. Jesus isn't an option like a fast food drive-thru where he can pick a number one, which is this, a number two, which is Jesus, or a number three, which is something else, right? Jesus is the truth. And when we apply his principles, when we apply God's word to our daily life, like that tool or that saw or those goggles, it may not change what happens to us, but it changes how we experience what happens to us, how we live through what happens to us. Committing ourselves to God's word, committing ourselves not simply to believing in Jesus, but to acting and living as Jesus did, is like having a compass in the wilderness. You see, and a compass, whether you're at the top of the highest mountain or you're at the bottom of the lowest valley, north always points the same way. We live in a world that tells us this way we're supposed to go this way, or this year we're supposed to believe this, or this year we're supposed to do that. But the scriptures remind us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus' truth does not change on the whims of the world. And when we root ourselves in his word and his truth, we root ourselves in something that will always point us in the right direction. You see, whether you are in a valley right now or whether you're on the mountaintop spiritually and emotionally, you have a compass that can utilize that will always point you the right way. The road not always be easy. It may not always be what you want or ideal, but God's truth is a truth that is unchanging, unflinching, no matter the circumstances, no matter what's happening in the world. So align yourselves with Christ. Be a person of faith, not just in thought, but also in works and deed. Walk the walk, talk the talk of Jesus, and know that in a world full of many ideas and theories and philosophies, his truth is supreme and always will be. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder that when life is confusing, you give us a compass that points us where to go. Help us lean on your word, which is the truth, now and for all eternity. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.